Well, we about all that are here are too old to die young now, so just go ahead and eat a little salt. We already overage. Got there by eating salt. Yeah, salt is a preservative. You gotta have some salt.
I need to be preserved sometimes.
Old folks eat that salt bacon. We didn't eat very much of it. My and Paul's folks, they thought it was better to sugar cure it and smoke it. Although we had to use a little salt with that sugar cure. Put it in there. Oh no. What are we going to eat then? No sugar, no salt. We'll be out of business. Just what are we going to do? Just starve to death? Turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Romans this morning. I got in trouble a lot of times about going by the smokehouse. Mother would get on me. Hey, you stop going by that smokehouse and cutting meat off them hams. Well, nothing better to get one of them syrup biscuits or a couple of them. Go by the smokehouse and cut you all a hunk of that ham.
Did you go back to the house and eat? Or did you walk out in the woods?
Well, it'd be a day or two for Mother. Yeah.
That's probably one of those things, accusing your mother of having eyes in the back of her head. I keep thinking, be sure enough your
aunt
will find you out.
Oh, yeah. You didn't get much by Mother. Her daddy either, for that matter. They kept an eye on things. Sometimes they'd let us go a while. Then get us 11th verse of the second chapter of the book of Romans. Said, for there is no respect of persons with God. Just a statement that didn't leave any room for error here. Not one is any better than the other. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. Another statement. This, you know, no, there really isn't any argument about it. Those that didn't have the law, they're going to perish by the same law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So when man sins, he has given truth to judgment. He said, this is worthy of death. He said, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Said, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, law wasn't given to them, you understand. It was given to the Israelite people. Even though God was no respecter of persons, he chose that people to give them a law. He said, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature. Do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are a law unto themselves. They in their heart and in their mind know the law. Not in its full extent. that come far short of the full extent of the law or being able to carry out that law. Mm-hmm. And this is not about the law. You understand? And that's not what he's talking about here, really. Their law unto themselves. We're a nation of laws. Over and over and over. There's so many documents of them, I don't know if you could count them. Yeah. It'd take a whole army of people to keep up with them. Well, why is that? Because man knows something about God. He knows he is the creator, but he's subject by nature to serve the creature more than the creator. This law is within him. He's just bound and determined to make a law that would be pleasing to God. He said, which show the work of law written in their hearts. Well, it's stamped there. They know that they ought to do right. He said, their conscience also bearing them witness in their thoughts. The meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So, the law is there. It's planted there. By nature it's in man. So he's always trying to do something in his carnal state. Or offer up some carnal thing. Some little sacrifice. Always going about to try to appease this God that they know is the creator. And they understand that he is worthy of an offering. So they set about to establish their own law and offer up something to God and say, we are good. Because they don't have full knowledge of the law. They just got enough of it to know that they are subject to law. They go about accusing or excusing, always trying to lay it on somebody or say, the Lord hath made me thus. Who art thou, old man, that replies against God? That's the question. But man continually does that. He's bound to it by nature. And the conscience. Now the conscience is a most understood, misunderstood thing in this world today. Men are governed by their conscience. But their conscience is seared to the point that they can't make a proper judgment. Number two is, in the very beginning, man's conscience, they say, is to tell him what is right and what is wrong. And certainly to some extent, because that is his nature, he knows somewhat of what is wrong. But he doesn't know by the same law, he doesn't know what is right. He's always judging it by himself. By that little bit of law that he has, without any light of the gospel. If the light of the gospel is not in him, then he doesn't understand the whole law. Yeah. This law is against you. And it's sealed up. It's a testimony unto the deadness of man.
Right.
And the man's conscience is always telling him that. Why else would he go so headstrong in trying to establish some law that would make him righteous?
Yeah.
And right away, he knows all the time. Isn't that an amazing thing, though? That it is man's very nature to know these things. And yet, he won't do it. All these things are set forth before man from the very beginning. Thou shalt not eat of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Yeah. Right away, Adam and Eve thought they had it. We'll go get some fig leaves and cover up our nakedness. And they continued to try to cover it up, and they're still using those same fig leaves. It's just a mere image of the righteousness of God. Need a covering to cover our nakedness. So we go about trying to establish something that would make us righteous. Verse 16, he said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, not according to your knowledge.
Yeah.
Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest. Well, they approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident. Oh, got great confidence in this. Me and yet have the same thing.
Yes.
Great confidence. We're going to make a law that will save man. They steady trying, you know, trying to save us continually. They know that there must be law and order. And the whole world falls in this category because it's their very nature. They were created that way, with no enlightenment, but on the other hand, the law. It's always there testifying of the righteousness of God.
Right.
And the two things together are a testimony against man. And that's what the whole scripture is about, is who is man and who is God.
Right.
So he gave a law. Not only did he give it, but he said, do this and live. But what? No, we're going to do what we want to do. And are confident that thou thyself are a guide of the blind and a light of them which are in darkness. Well, isn't that what the whole world has come to? Now let us show you what you need to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially about spiritual things. Mm-hmm. How in the world can they, be an unspiritual, teach spiritual? And then in verse 20 he said, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form, what? The form of knowledge. Well, they got it within. They got the form of it. And of the truth in the law. Thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself, that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Well, it all goes back to lust, doesn't it? Well, We got to have law in this nation today. Because every man is lusting after the things of the other. So we got to have law to contain him, to keep him in check. But he's always setting about to do away with that law, so we have to keep changing it. When all the time all we have to do is look back at the law and say, this is the law. And it's good. And it's profitable. That's what the Lord told the people. He said, it'll be profitable unto you. Do these things. And they were. You know, that's what's so strange. They were. They had their high priest. They had their other priests, their junior ones, and all of them setting about and slaughtering the animal and carrying the blood. They were. But not according to righteous knowledge.
Right.
They were doing it. All the things that they were offering up was according to the carnal. Well, the Lord never was pleased with bulls and goats.
No.
And those sacrifices of old. Only thing he was pleased with, that they showed forth in that law the coming of a Savior, which was a pattern of things to come.
Right.
He said they had a form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Well, what was that form? It was that certain pattern that was set before always. They saw the type of it, but they couldn't see it, which was the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
So they always going about in the flesh, trying to appease a God of wrath. Problem is, they were working to have their own righteousness.
Right.
And things are not any different. Why do you think we have so many laws? We always setting about trying to establish some law that would make us righteous.
Right.
We wouldn't lust after the other man's stuff. Or anything else. But all of that was just a form of what the true law was.
Yeah.
The law was just a pattern. All the things of old were just a pattern. Now here's what's an amazing thing. Now we no longer just have a pattern. But we have that which has kept that law and walked among men and been a testimony unto this world in person. And yet it's same old thing. Why? Because God no respecter of persons. It goes right back to that. There's no power in man to fulfill the law and no will.
Right.
Do you understand that the conscience has to be taught? First place, it has to be opened up. Cut a little bit and let the light in. So that it will then have a good conscience. Man by nature has a bad conscience. He's always judging everything by himself.
Right.
Worshipping the creature more than the Creator. Always subject to it. Go over with me to the book of Deuteronomy. 29th chapter. I guess in verse 2, he said that Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen, they had seen it, all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and to all his land. You've been right there. Then I delivered you out of this, for done all these things. The great temptations, you've seen this, which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. All these things were patterns set before them. Yet the Lord hath not given you, we're going to get down to the crux of the matter now. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear, unto this day. Things have not changed. You've seen all these things. You've seen the pattern. You've seen all the things that you ought to do. And yet you have set about to try to establish your own righteousness. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Yeah. Your clothes were not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. Ye have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. All these things. But we have more today. We have a more sure word. A prophecy. What? That you might know. Right. What is the righteousness of the law. And what is the righteousness of the law? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Him in whom the people, his people, enter into the tabernacle, which is his body. And they don't offer up sacrifices. That true sacrifice has been offered up, that the Father was pleased in. There it is. Book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter. In verse 6. It said, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle. Same way the Lord entered in, by the way. Accomplishing the service of God through the tabernacle. But into the second now, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. I kind of like the word ignorances. They were really ignorant of what was going on. They also had errors, but there was so much ignorance in it. They set about to establish their own righteousness. He said the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices. They were offering them up. There wasn't any problem with that. They were steady doing it. But it wasn't having any effect.
Right.
on most of them. Only a few, just a remnant. Because God no respecter of persons. But he has called out a few. That could not make him, they is offering them up, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Well, why not? He was working, offering up everything. Lord, tell us what to do and we'll do it. And they were doing it. But not according to the righteousness of the law. But according to their own carnal righteousness. They were offering up carnal things. And they had no power. And it was evident that their misunderstanding was evident that they carried on and continued on doing those carnal things. Even after Christ had come. And we're still trying to do some of that. We're calling them Judeo-Christian. So we're going to light the candlestick once a year. Do one candle at a day, at a time. Just foolishness like that. Oh yeah, we're going to give up. We're going to do some offerings. We're going to build the biggest house that you have ever seen for us. And we'll go everywhere bragging about it. Look how righteous and holy and just we are. We are doing the Lord's work. And they don't understand that they can't do the Lord's work. That was what was wrong with the people in the beginning. Their conscience was telling them that everything is good. Our nation is going through something right now where they have judged by their own conscience that everything is good. This last week, they give a fellow full honors. He was a serviceman. They'd kicked him out of there because he is a homosexual. And now they have given him back all his rights. He's dead and gone. But we're going to make this right.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? The lasciviousness. That's what it is. Well, going on. As pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings. That's all it was to it. And carnal ordinances. We're going to call them what they are now. Imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. What tabernacle? That of his own body. Were to mend tabernacle, if there's tabernacling at all, there's tabernacling in the body of Christ. He said, not made with hands. Oh, it's going to be a whole lot prettier than that one. It's going to be it. He's going to go in through the sanctuary, and you and I, if we come at all, we're going to go in through the sanctuary. That's where we're going to be hid. And we go in unto the mercy seat. Why? Because we have the understanding that you cannot keep a law that would be pleasing to God outside of his law. You can't change it up. He said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Well, that's good. If it hadn't been so, we'd all been gone.
Right.
There's always, though, that tendency to look unto the conscience. And if that conscience is not seared, if it's made tender, if it's taught of the law of God, and it has that enlightenment from God, then that conscience will be clear, because it doesn't have to offer up any more dead carnal works. That's what we call rest. So we come to the point of rest in Jesus Christ, who hath fulfilled that law for us. But we continue, as natural people, continue to try to appease the anger of God. And the law in that respect is written upon the hearts of men, that they need to do something to try to stay off the judgment of God. And judgment is always looming there. You know, it's a strange thing, too, that the conscience would leave a man alone in these things, when it's so apparent that to do right is pleasing with God. And how else can we do it outside of the knowledge, the pure knowledge of God Himself, and the pure knowledge of who we are? It'll let a man alone. In the 5th chapter of the book of Galatians, verse 13, he said, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." Well, it set us free to worship the living God. He said, "Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh." We don't need to offer up something else. "But by love serve one another." This is a key to the whole thing. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. And the law of God. He said, "For all law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love the Lord. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not consume one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Not in carnal things, not in trying to offer up some back other sacrifice than what is real. "And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So we've come all the way back around. What's the problem? Lust of the flesh. He said, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." "So that ye cannot do the things that ye would do outside of the Spirit. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." We're cleansed by the blood of Christ, not of bulls and goats, not of any carnal offering. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. What's manifest there? The condemnation of man. That's what's manifest. Always. But he's manifesting him all the time by all this activity of trying to make some laws that would make man righteous or acceptable with God. And only acceptance with God is in righteousness, and that righteousness must come by Jesus Christ. He entered in through the tabernacle into the holiest place for you and I, and offered up the sacrifice once and for all, that we might have eternal life.
Something that only the Spirit of God can reveal. That's, I guess, the most difficult thing, and the reason that there's so much contention today within the Christian religion about, well, whether has the law been done away with? Are we all full? Is it all of grace, or is the law, is it still there? Is it gone? What happened to it? All that. There's just great contention today over that. And what's interesting, again, is, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be what? Justified.
Must still be around,
and it must be the only way to be acceptable with God. Well, I thought it was by grace. Well, it is.
Yeah.
And you have to get the cart behind the horse, not the cart before the horse. But the new birth, that birth from above, the regeneration, the work of the Holy Ghost to renew the new creature, is made in the likeness of the Spirit of God. And that one loves righteousness. But the crazy thing is, and the important thing is, that he doesn't have to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's born in him.
Yeah.
He has the
liberty to rest.
He has the liberty to rest. He has liberty to just live.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. That's what it is. That's salvation is life.
In abundance.
So, no, we do not work for our salvation, but salvation brings forth that which is pleasing to God. So James says, show me your faith without your works. Well, you can't do it. And I'll show you my faith by my works. Abraham was justified before God by his works. That's what confused Martin Luther so badly.
Yeah.
This boy, James must be mistaken here. But no, James wasn't mistaken, and he was in perfect agreement with the Apostle Paul. If we had nothing else, this one verse right here, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law The problem is that man goes about trying to do it the wrong way. He tries to do it himself. He does not cast himself upon God, or as Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, for they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Man can reach his own righteousness, just like the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 7. No, I'm taking it back. I guess it was in Philippians chapter 3. He said he was blameless. Yeah, but he was in his own mind. He was blameless, and according to the law, they couldn't find any fault in him. But when he saw the righteousness of God, then he said, "It slew me." So. And man is, that's right, man continues to make law after law after law. And law is necessary. But the law is not for a righteous man. Right? But for sinners.
Because man is lawless.
He's lawless, and he has to be kept under some kind of restraint. But then he gets to thinking, we're good. But the amazing thing is, every man is a law unto himself. According to his own mind, he's the one that's good. And the same way with nations and so forth and so on. Do you think that the communist nation thinks that our nation is the best? And we don't think so of the communist nation, do we? But it's all according to man's way of thinking, and he is a law unto himself. Every man did that which was right in what?
His own eyes.
His own eyes. In those days, there was no king in Israel. But the body of Christ, the church of God, does have a king. And he does rule and reign in our hearts.
Amen.